Welcome back to the Press Box on Thursday, January the 23rd. Is it Thursday or is it Wednesday? I can't remember. Is it Thursday?
Thursday.
Wow, the week is flying by.
It is.
Racing tonight at Turfway Park. How about that?
Racing tonight at Turfway. Tomorrow at Oaklawn.
Yeah, we've got the calendar starting to fill in pretty aggressively.
It is, yeah.
But racing this weekend also at Gulfstream Park, my guest, Ed DeRosa, the director of marketing over at BristNet, the only place you need to go for all your handicapping tools, needs, advice, counsel, and I need all those things, mostly in space. And my good friend Ed DeRosa will always correct me when I'm wrong, and that's often. It's about 67% of the time. But big race down at Gulfstream Park. The Pegasus World Cup, another version. Big race day down at Gulfstream, Ed.
Absolutely. 12 race card, the Pegasus Turf, of course, which was the launching pad for Bricks and Mortar, who I think everyone expects to be announced as Horse of the Year on Thursday night. And then the Pegasus World Cup, I know you and I disagree here, but I personally think we're finally going to have a non-favorite win this thing.
Well, you know, it's been pretty predominant in terms of favorites over the last few years, rightfully so. I mean, some really, really good horses have finished their racing careers before heading off to the breeding shed. But when you look at Arrogate and Gunrunner and last year City of Light, it's hard to beat those horses on a good day, and they had good days, many, many good days in their respective careers.
Yeah, it's, you know, the shame, Arrogate went on, to win the Dubai World Cup that year and then sort of petered out. But unfortunately, Gunrunner and City of Light, that was their swan songs. And, City of Light last year, probably, you know, especially in retrospect, when you look at, how the older male division shook out, probably had a chance to have easily as good a year or better as Bricks and Mortar. So, that one kind of smarts. That was it for him. But, you know, maybe we'll be having a similar discussion next year about Omaha Beach. Certainly a worthy favorite here and adds some much-needed star power to the race. But I think they're going to make him earn it this time, Gene. He's up against some quality foes, including one who's already beaten him.
Yeah, you know, I think you're exactly right. Up against probably his deepest and best field ever, and that's okay. I mean, you know, I think good horses get better when they face great competition. And I've always believed that. I really saw it in particular when I was a bit younger, when Ali Sheba faced the good ones, he got just a little bit tougher and a little bit better. And, you know, his races against Ferdinand, and, you know, I think affirmed when he ran up against Alidar, he got better when he faced it the best. And, you know, I think the good ones really have that extra gear that they can ratchet down or ratchet up, whatever it may be. But the good ones always find a way to be really good when they need to be good. And I think you and I probably disagree on the handicapping of this particular race. But no matter how you view the career, I think Omaha Beach is one of those quality. It's unfortunate for us fans that he's likely and been predicted and all probability will head off to the breed shed. But because I think he could really stamp himself as one of the best of all time. But, you know, I think that good ones find a way to be really good when they need to be good.
No, that's absolutely right. When you look at this race, you know, as much as I do think there are some alternatives to the top two, if you, you know, really want to chase a price, the reality is, other than Omaha Beach and Spun to Run, to me, none of have really showed, you know, that they can dig in and win at this level on a consistent basis. Even some of the other grade one winners, like Seeking the Soul, just have had, you know, some multiple opportunities to really show that they're a next level horse and haven't been able to do so. So, you know, it's a gambling game, and I think the price is just going to be too short on Omaha Beach, but certainly agree with your macro comments about his talent.
Let's kind of delve into the race a little bit, Ed, and whether or not we agree or disagree, I always value your insights and they always move me, maybe not in my top selection, but, sometimes in our exotic plays, when you talk about looking for value in this particular race, who do you look at first at potential bets for you, and how would you play those potential bets?
Well, it's sort of going to be a choose-your-own-adventure for me, or maybe a Chinese menu, where depending on which horse I'm keying on, I'll use different horses with that opinion. So, for instance, Fun to Run, I am going to make my top pick. I think, given that he'll be 3-1 against Omaha Beach, I just see him as the most likely winner anyway. And no shame in the second to Maximum Security, who I would have sold something to bet Maximum Security with the most I could afford to bet if he were in this race, and he's not. So coupled with already beating Omaha Beach on the square and a good second last out, and I have no problem with Heartspun out of a Grand Slam there going 9 furlongs. So Spun to Run's the key, but, you know, him and Omaha Beach in the trifecta, there's no value there. Even if Spun to Run wins, if Omaha Beach is right there behind him, you're not going to get anything. So with the Spun to Run tickets, Diamond Oops and Tax and True Timber, the three horses on the inside, are the three I'd want to get in the number with him. But then sort of the reverse of that, if True Timber and Tax, for instance, finish two of the top three positions, I don't want to be ripping up tickets because Omaha Beach was second. Or even if he wins above those two, I think that's something I need to have, given my opinion. So Spun to Run's the main play, and I think I'm pretty comfortable singling him to conclude most of the multi-race wagers. But at the same time, there are three long shots, at least on the morning line, that I like, that if two of the three run well, I can't let Omaha Beach beat me underneath them.
Yeah. Who are those other long shots that you like in addition to your play on top of being Spun to Run?
Yeah, True Timber, I think, is really interesting. Was third in the Cigar Mile, really the only one to close against the top two, who ran 1-2 all the way around. And he was wide and had a wide post. He's stretching back out to a mound in APX. Ran in the Pegasus last year and just kind of was middle of the road. But I thought last year's group was a little better. And he's matured anyway for Kieran. Mineshaft out of a Tis Now Mares. That's pedigree that gets better as the years go on anyway. So he's interesting to me after that effort in the Cigar Mile. Tax has been really consistent. He has 5 Bristnet triple digit speed ratings. To me, that's good enough to use him in this spot. And he's by Arch, who I don't remember. I haven't run numbers recently, but he was one of those sires that, and he's by Chris S., who is really sound and true sound runners. That pedigree gene stuck out to me. We haven't mentioned this yet. No Lasix for this race. So,
right.
You know, that's something on my mind. I'm not going to let it affect how I handicap the top tier horses like Omaha Beach and Spun to Run. But I did think it was interesting, the Tax being by Arch, no Lasix. I see that as a positive for him. And then Diamond Oops, I can't imagine we'll get 20-1, but, he has some fast races on his page, and, can't leave off my man Julian at a big price.
I was going to ask that question. You and I have developed a very fond fondness for Julian in the saddle, and I mean on the racetrack. You know, he is you've been a very big advocate of Julian's for a very long time. And, you know, after he happened to ride one for me in particular, I now am a big supporter, and I've realized that you were right all along in that regard. One of the things I wanted to bring up a little bit, Ed, is there's holes in a lot of the past performances and a lot of the horses that are in the field this year. I mean, if you kind of delve into them, there's some things that make you kind of step back and scratch your head a little bit. And when you think you get rather bullish on one, you say, well, there's this race or there's that race or there's this hiccup. You know, in particular, Spun to Run, can he go the extra distance? I think is a legitimate question. You know, I think the mile distance, You know, he had his own way, I think, at Santa Anita on a track that he was accustomed to. There's some questions I've got about distance limitations. What do you make of the fact that he's getting a new rider on Saturday?
Yeah, that was certainly interesting, and there seemed to be some confusion or, lack of commitment, I guess, maybe is the right word, and ends up with Castellano. Obviously, Irad can't say he really did anything wrong.
Right.
So I'm not entirely sure what the inside baseball is there, with Javier getting aboard and Irad not having, a mount in this race, but, going 9 furlongs, which he's 0-2, I believe.
Right.
I, to be honest, would probably prefer a rider more familiar with him, because he's going to have to get after it for that final half furlong, at least I would think. And there is, you know, some speed in here, so he'll be working every step of the way. And we know Mike Smith aboard Omaha Beach is an excellent tactician, and he's going to be lying in wait. So. Yeah, if he were the favorite, that would actually, to be honest, be one of the reasons I'd be looking to play against him. But again, with Omaha Beach taking so much money, I think I'm willing to forgive the rider change.
Yeah, Javier Castellano is no slouch in the saddle either.
Of course, not at all.
Yeah, but
especially
it helps me scratch my head a little bit. And the hole, there's just a couple of holes there in the resume that make me scratch my head a little bit. Seeking the Soul. Now a 7-year-old, he just finished the year a little bit dull for me to take a flyer, on him in this kind of race against these kind of horses.
I agree. When he won the Foster, it looked like, you know, things were going the right way. And I love that Dallas sent him out, you know, to California, which is where the Breeders' Cup was, but, he just went the wrong way. And, it's just hard to think he'll, I mean, he has races fast enough on the page,
yep.
Including last year's runner-up finish to City of Light, which got a 107 Brisnet rating, but it's really hard to see a rebound after 4 sub-100 ratings. And
yeah.
Really with no excuse. I mean, he's a closer, he's at the mercy of pace, but he never looked like a winner in any of those 4 races.
Yeah, and that's what's concerning. Although Dallas Stewart is known to throw a right in the middle of an exotic with a big number on the odds board, so makes you want to kind of consider. But the races just look so dull to me there at the end of the year. It would take an astronomical return to his former self in this particular race. Tax has never won a Grade One race. I agree with you. The pedigree, I think, with Arch and some other things, even though in a suspect 3-year-old crop. That hole seems to be there for his resume, although I do love the fact that Jose Ortiz will be riding for the first time on Saturday.
Yeah, Jose gets aboard, so another horse that he must be somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
I should have done my homework on that. Another horse I read had ridden before with some success, and didn't do much running in the Derby. He was actually my second pick that day. Both my two picks didn't fare well, but I'm looking forward to both of them hopefully having good 4-year-old years, because I do think they're talented, and by my standards is the other one I'm referring to. He's in the mix for me, Gene. I mean, you mentioned Spun to Run, stretching out. True Timber hasn't done much beyond 8 furlongs. Diamond Dupes, another one, hasn't been beyond 8 furlongs. Tax, we know, can absolutely handle this route of ground and probably beyond as well. So given that he's run about fast enough and there are some distance questions with some of these, he's in the mix for me in a big way.
Yeah, I agree. We will disagree on some in here, but I think Tax is one that's in my mix in the exotics as well. Diamond Oops, coming off the grass to some degree. He's multiple graded 1 stakes placed, but enters off a nice win in the 7 furlong Mr. Prospector, which is a Grade 3 race. But, you know, he was, he ran in the Shadwell Turf Mile at Keeneland. He's off the board in the Dirt Mile after a troubled start out there at Santa Anita. Julian gets up. Diamond Oops back and forth off the turf to the dirt. You know, are they searching for the right spot with this guy, or is he just kind of a guy that shows up and puts in a good performance about every time?
Yeah, I think he's just so versatile, and, you know, around that 6 to 8 furlong distance, you have options on dirt and turf depending on where you're stabled and when you're ready to run. I thought the Shadwell turf mile was an awesome performance, and I think, I forget what his morning line was that day, but he was bet down from a 12-to-1 that day, and I expect him to be bet down off this 20-to-1 line. And Leperu, figure this one will probably be mid-pack. And again, there is some speed in here. I like maybe that he can get the jump on some of the deeper closers, like a True Timber. You know, 20-to-1 I'd love. I'm hesitant to be too bullish because I think he might really get bet down and then I'll have to reevaluate. But
yeah,
certainly is one of the bigger prices on the morning line. I can't discount him and won't.
Yep. Two horses I want to finish with before we get to our selections. And you've already ended any drama, as if there might have been any with mine.
Yeah.
But Mr. Freeze is intriguing to me. And I know he ran third in the Grade 1 Clark at Churchill Downs in November, trained by Dale Romans, gets that rider, Luis Saez. Is he ever going to serve his days, by the way? That's another story. But Mr. Freeze is intriguing to me, not as a win candidate, but perhaps hitting the board.
Yeah, another one, probably even in front of Diamond Oops, kind of a stalk and pounce trip. And from the outside, I'm sure Saez is going to want to get position, and I see that is important, not wanting a wide trip around both turns, just going 9 furlongs. So the ACAC was awesome, and I thought that was a good field that he beat, and didn't quite put it together enough to win, but at the same time, he was chasing Tom's Detat, who would be easily the second choice in this group behind Omaha Beach. So pretty good company lines, and can't fault you. And if some of the others I think are going to take money due, this one might float up, and a win would surprise me, but definitely could see him being on the board at a nice number.
Yep. The last one, Bodie Express. You know, we don't know what his mindset's going to be going into the gate or coming out of the gate. I do notice that John Velasquez is not riding, but since he was catapulted and boomeranged and trampolined out of the starting gate up in the Preakness. But Bodie Express is a talented son of a gun. So one of these days, this guy may put it all together. I know he's speed, but he does like this racetrack. You know, he ran second to Maximum Security in the Florida Derby as a maiden. You know, he comes in with 2 wins from the last 3 starts. I'm using Bodie Express.
Yeah, big price, and he's the one for sure that just has to go. I mean, there's horses in here. Spun to Run is one gate to wire. Omaha Beach is one gate to wire. You know, there's definitely speed in here, but without a doubt, Bodie Express is the one going. And from the outside, it'll be interesting to see who wants to go with them or if anyone tries to float him wide. I don't think they will because he's probably being underestimated, especially off the loss. But another one of those that, you know, if you start talking certainly 30-to-1, I could plan to hang on for a piece like he did. Well, I guess Maximum Security he chased. But, you know, he hung on for second there at a big, big price. And I can't talk you off him. I mean, another one of those, a win would surprise. But as the longest shot on the board, maybe, I – you have to use them in some strength with your key horse, I think.
Yeah. Well, we get to that moment in time. I'm going to let you go first, but, you know, we haven't had a show recently or a friendly sidebar wager between you and I. I'm going to let you go first with your selection, which I think I know, and then I'll finish with mine in our side bet. I am unfortunately going to have the favorite. I may actually give you 2 breakfasts versus 1.
There you go. Well, I'll take Spun to Run. You can give me Spun to Run and Tax.
And
that would even it out
for
me. But, Spun to Run's the top pick. I think Maximum Security is the best horse in training. And, you know, he chased him, and there's no shame in that. But he did win the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. and a nice one before that. The 9 furlongs is a concern. The jockey musical chairs this week, a minor concern stretching out. But I think at 3-1, that's the right price. I see him as winning this race more than 25% of the time.
Yeah. And who was going to play him with? Is there any objectives or tries or?
Yeah. Tax is, the second pick, as I said, and, you know, he's going to be right there with Omaha Beach too. I'm not going to let Omaha Beach beat me if Tax is in the exacta. And then True Timber and Diamond Oops. Are the other two I think are usable in some strength. But, you know, with the Dime Super, that lets you be a little creative. And one thing I'm going to do for sure, Gene, is take Fun to Run in a super, some sort of key box. I might not use them in all four positions, but basically beating Omaha Beach out of the super altogether with Fun to Run and then using horses like Mr. Freeze and Bogey Express as well.
Yeah. Interesting advice, counsel, and thoughts regarding his betting strategy from Ed DeRosa. I'll tell you how bullish I am going into this race, Ed.
Tell me.
I'm going to give you the field.
Wow.
And I'm going to take Omaha Beach, who I truly think could have. Let's just put it there. You never can say would have. But I think he could have won the Triple Crown. I agree with Richard Mandela, who is a fabulous trainer and probably even a better individual. I think Omaha Beach in last year's crop could have won the Triple Crown. I think he would have been certainly the way he trained and the way he looked coming to Kentucky last spring. Was one of the finest looking individuals on the track that I have seen in years, and that includes American Pharoah and Justify. I think that the way he came out of Arkansas and came to Kentucky last spring he just looked tremendous. He traveled so well. I really am a firm believer. This horse has done some remarkable things. From a racing perspective, that just sets him up to be, I think, a potentially great sire. Not a good sire, but a great sire. And he wins a grade one at 1/8. He wins a grade one going 6 furlongs against a very, very good horse in Chancelot. He wins 7 furlongs, a grade one, and he runs second in front of the world's greatest dirt mile grade one. So he has 3 grade one wins at different distances and a second in a fourth distance. We don't see those kinds of horses. And being by Warfront, I think if he continued on, he could be a grade one winner on the grass. I just think this horse has got unbelievable talent. Unfortunately, we're robbed of the chance to see him in the Triple Crown races, because I really think he would have distinguished himself as one of the best of all time. And I believe that not only by the way he has trained and looked, but just the way he travels. I think he's a fluid, absolute, complete athlete. I'm very, very high on this horse, both as a racehorse, as he ends up the career, and as a stallion prospect over at Spindrift Farm. I can't say enough good things about this horse.
Certainly as a stallion I mean, win or lose.
Yeah.
Warfront, and, you know, I'm of the age now, a lot of my younger contemporaries, you know, and I'm sure there were some broodmare sires like this when I was starting out in the early 2000s, but, you know, Seeking the Gold isn't a sexy name anymore, but, you know, there was a time when he was standing for 200,000, which means, you know, the mares that he was getting were phenomenal. As a stallion prospect, I mean, I don't care what happens on Saturday, you know, wherever Omaha Beach finishes, that's not going to change. He's already proven enough given that pedigree. So I can understand the excitement at Spendthrift, but I'm not nearly as bullish as some of these comments. I mean, some probably saw on social media I was gobsmacked that, you know, Mandela would say this horse is as good as Beholder. And, I mean, I guess he would know better than others, but that blew me away and felt like a little over-the-top hyperbole, which actually makes me, you know, think maybe the horse is more up against it. So that's just sort of trying to read the tea leaves and beat an even money horse. But, you know, certainly agree with the talent aspect of it, but I do think he's going to have to run his career best race to win on Saturday.
Yeah, and I'll close with one editorial statement. There is nothing keeping Maximum Security from having run in this race other than the choice of the connections to avoid it, just like they avoided many of the other big races in 2019. I agree wholeheartedly with my good friend Chip McGahey, whose horse Codelar just show up for the race, and Maximum Security showed up for very few races, particularly those that had any kind of competition in them other than the Derby. The Haskell was, in my view, a farcical situation. So my prejudice is very, very strong. At Maximum Security, if the connections had would have had the opportunity to run in this race if they wanted, they decided not to. I think the excuse was it went from, what, a $9 million purse to a $3 million purse?
Yeah, and the LASIX.
Well, you know, how many $3 million races are there on Saturday?
Zero.
Yeah, one.
No, one, I guess. Yeah. Zero other.
So, yeah, I find it odd. Let's put it that way. I find it more than odd. I'll be kind. I'll find it odd. I will take Omaha Beach. I'll you can take the field on a 2-1 breakfast offer. And you know, I'll be honest here, and I hate using that word because that indicates at times I'm not. But if there's any one trait, I try to be as honest all the time. But I will do this. If he wins by 5 lengths or more, then I think that we go really upscale in our breakfast of choice. How about that?
Okay.
Because
very
I
good.
Think this horse has got a chance to win by 5 lengths or more.
All right. You're on.
Okay. Got it. That's Ed DeRosa, my great friend who is game as heck. Unlike the connections for Maximum Security, he shows up every time, Ed DeRosa, and he's game and he's good.
I appreciate that.
Director of Marketing over at Brisbane, the only place you need to go for all your handicapping tools and needs. Ed, always a pleasure. Great to catch up with you again. We're going to have a great 2020, and this kickstarts a really fun time of the year. We'll be talking often through the spring as we get ready for that first Saturday in May.
100 days away.
100 days away, my good friend. I'll be chatterboxing a little bit with you on Twitter as we get ready for post time on Saturday for the Texas World Cup.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Ed. Always.
All right, thank you,
Jim. See you, brother.
Yep, take care.
Take care, man.